The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Real Life Radio is a service of River City Community Church.
Grace and peace to you, and welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Sean Azaro of River City Community Church in San Antonio, Texas, a church that exists to help people just like you find the real life you were created for and then find it to the full. That's what Jesus said in John 10:10. And today we continue in this series called Jesus Has Left the Building and Rediscovering the Biblical Jesus. And today Pastor Sean talks about another kingdom. If you have a Bible nearby, head towards the book of Luke. This is Real Life Radio.
Now, our series is called Jesus Has Left the Building, Rediscovering the Biblical Jesus. Today is actually Luke chapter 20. We'll finish up Luke this week and we'll head into John. What's kind of interesting about that, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels, which kind of relate to the word synonymous. They're very similar in their structure, in the way they present the stories of Jesus. John comes from a totally different perspective. He doesn't do his timeline the same. He doesn't organize his writing and doesn't feel compelled to the same. He goes thematically and really brings some different things. There's some awesome things that John shares that weren't shared in the other Gospels. And just some perspective. So I want to encourage you, don't, if you're like behind and going, oh, I'm 14 chapters behind, I'll never catch up. I can't read 14 chapters. That would take like an hour. You know, don't. I don't want to put you through that. It would be too hard. Don't worry about it. Just start. Today's Luke 20. Start with us. You can go online at reallife.org and click on, you know, on the big banner on the front, click on the Jesus Left the Building logo, and you'll go. It'll show you the schedule, and you can find out where you are. I encourage you, get back on track with us and be reading, because we're about to enter in the Gospel of John, which will present some very cool and different perspectives and looks at the ministry of Jesus. You don't want to miss that. The reason we chose the phrase, Jesus has left the building, rediscovering the biblical Jesus, is because he doesn't stay here during the week when we go out, kind of pining away, going, I wonder what they're doing. I can't wait to see him on Sunday. Okay? That's needy Jesus. Okay? We don't serve a needy Jesus. In the Gospels, yes, Jesus, we're told his habit was to be in the synagogue. He met in worship and teaching. But then he went out. And that's the whole point. He came to be a blessing to people. He said, it's not the well, the healthy, the already converted, if you will, who need a doctor. He said, it's the sick, the poor, it's the needy, it's the lost. That's the heart of Jesus Christ. That's what he was all about. And I think too often in Christian circles, we've made it only about what he does here on Sundays. And please, don't get me wrong. What he's doing on Sundays is awesome. And we'll talk about that in just a second. But man, he wants us to go out and be his hands and feet extended, because that's where he is. That's the whole point of this campaign. Now, last week, we saw that the best invitation is still come and see. You remember the premise was Jesus said, where two or more gathered in my name, I am there in their midst. And that he does amazing and powerful things when we gather together. There's a unique manifestation of his presence that happens when the church comes together. And the same New Testament invite that they use, and you see it over and over in the New Testament, where people would say, come and see the one who told me everything I did, like the Samaritan woman. Or, come and see the one. Could this be the Messiah? Come and see. That's a powerful invitation. That's the essence of a witness. Come and see the one who changed my life. And that when we invite people to the gathering of the body of Christ, we're not simply inviting them to a meeting. Folks, if that's all this is, I don't know about you, I don't need any more meetings. I got enough meetings. But something powerful happens when the body gathers in his name, that's what the scripture says, that he is uniquely there. And we have seen God doing some awesome things in this body, in this community. And so we gave everybody, and we've done it again this week. We started a little mini campaign called 5x5. In your bulletin, there are five little cards. They're not trading cards, okay? They're all the same, sorry. I hope you took advantage of that. Our deal was find someone that you care about, whether it's a friend, neighbor, whomever it is. Maybe it's a total stranger that you meet. But you want to just say, hey, I'm a part of something where God's doing some cool stuff. Come and see. And we had all kinds of people do that. First service, I got to meet all kinds of guests. If you're here and you're a guest, just know somebody cared enough to say, hey, we'd love to have you. Come and see. And I want to encourage you. We have got these in the bulletin today. Let's do that again. The 5x5 campaign was five people. I'm going to invite five people a week for 5 weeks and see what God does. Because, man, somebody cared enough to invite me. And God changed my life. And I'll bet a lot of you in this room have a story similar. Somebody cared enough to go outside of their way, to leave their routine, and tell me, hey, come and see. Let me tell you about someone who changed my life. And so I want us to be that kind of people. Now, in Luke chapter 4, why don't you go ahead and turn there for just a second. We'll be Luke 4 and 5 a couple times in the morning, so you might want to keep a finger there. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus is healing. He's delivering people from evil spirits. He's actually ministering to the people, hands-on. But then we read this in verse 42. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him. And when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that's why I was sent. And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. That's one of those things where Jesus was doing hands-on ministry. We love hands-on ministry. That's why we're doing hands and feet. We believe it's important that we roll up our sleeves and we go and model the love and the life of Jesus and just share some of what we have and some of who we are with others. Tangible, practical ministry. And I think all of us would recognize, yeah, we get it. We know why that's important. There's a lot of need in the world around us, and we should be people who do something about it. But what we have to remember is Jesus' primary ministry. I mean, here he was doing that. He was healing. He was touching people's lives, and they're clamoring for more. Mark tells us that the disciples were kind of the leaders of the pack and came and got Jesus with the people and said, come on, they're looking for you. And Jesus said, guys, pack it up. We got to go to the next town because that's why I came. And it's interesting to note, last week we talked about Jesus' ministry. Remember, we read kind of his mission statement from the same chapter, from Luke chapter 4. He said he's here to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Don't ever forget that Jesus' first ministry is to proclaim a message. A message that will transform lives for eternity. We can get very excited, and we should, about hands-on, roll-up-your-sleeves ministry. But if we're not careful, we can start to say, yeah, and the message is kind of important, but that's just talking. The other's really working and helping. Message is just talking. Yeah, Jesus said that was the most important thing. A message. A message of the good news of the kingdom. That's what verse 43 said. I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns because that is why I was sent. There is a message that will transform lives, change the way that people look and see. You know, the Apostle Paul called it a ministry of reconciliation. That's what we're about. A message that says, Father's not mad anymore. You don't have to be separated from Father. He made a way through Jesus and the cross. Come and see. Jesus is all about a message that will transform people's lives because people, they don't know. They don't understand who God is. They don't understand what he's made available. And Jesus said, I came to let them know the good news of the kingdom. Now, Jesus' teaching was interesting. Matthew 7, 28 and 29, this is kind of the tail end of the Sermon on the Mount, said when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. Because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. His teaching was different. It was transformative because it had authority. So for the next few weeks, okay, we're going to wrap, at the end of this month, we're going to wrap the whole Jesus Has Left the Building series. But I want to end with an emphasis on the teaching of Jesus Christ, because he said that's the primary ministry, to open people's eyes. And we're going to look at some pretty powerful subjects and some actually pretty contrarian views that Jesus held and that he taught. So it's going to be really interesting as we kind of enter into this new segment, these next 4 weeks, and talk about the teaching of Jesus.
We want to take a quick minute to remind you, you're listening to Real Life Radio, a service of River City Community Church here in San Antonio, in this series called Jesus Has Left the Building and Rediscovering the Biblical Jesus. In fact, you can find this whole series on the sermons link at reallife.org. And here's an invitation for you to join us this Sunday and every Sunday from Pastor Sean.
River City Community Church is a church for real life. Real life is what we were created for and what we're all about. Hi, I'm Pastor Sean Azzaro, and we believe that we were made to have a life full of meaning and passion that can only be found in relationship with our Creator. That's what real life is. Now, for us, real life has a bit of a double meaning in that this faith of ours is also a relevant thing to the real world. It works in real life. It's not just a church thing. It's a way of living that powerfully impacts your home, work, and social world. That's why River City has a relaxed, casual feel, where we enjoy practical teaching, inspirational music, and age-appropriate discovery for the whole family. We want to help every single person find the life they were created for. River City is located a mile and a half outside of Loop 1604 on Lookout Road, across from Atama Park. Sunday service times are 9 and 11. Our home on the web is reallife.org. To find out everything you need to know, stop by our website at reallife.org. We look forward to meeting you on the road to real life.
Welcome back as we return to this message called Another Kingdom. This is Real Life Radio.
Now, we're told, we're introduced to Jesus' teaching, Matthew chapter 4. Remember, he's tempted in the wilderness. He's filled with the Spirit, tempted in the wilderness, and then Matthew 4:17 says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, and here was his message. We're told it several times in the Gospels. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. That was his message. Repent, or turn from your own way, for the kingdom of heaven is near. So the summary of Jesus' teaching is there's this other kingdom that is available. And it's a foundational idea. There's a different kingdom that I'm bringing in, says Jesus. Remember the Lord's Prayer. He said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. What's the next phrase? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Understand, the kingdom of God, or heaven, they're used interchangeably in the Gospels, is all about God's rule here. God's rule. God's righteousness. Making things right. Something is broken in the world. There's another kingdom at work. You're like, well, what's the big deal? God's king over all. He's God. You remember in Matthew 4, actually, or Matthew 3, Matthew 4, where Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. You remember that? You remember the last temptation? Satan takes him up to a mountaintop and says, you know, bow down and worship me and I'll give you the kingdoms of the earth. I remember when I first read that, I'm like, what are you, Satan, you crazy? You know who you're talking to? You are talking to the king. You are talking to the one who the scripture says, without him nothing was created that was created. Who do you think you are? The fact is, actually, Satan had the right to say that. And you know who gave it to him? Us. We did. In Genesis, we're told God gave man dominion. He told him to subdue and rule over the earth. Stewardship under God's leadership and authority. And you know who man handed that over to when he chose to rebel against God and choose sin instead? You know who he handed the keys to the kingdom? Satan. When he was on that mountaintop with Jesus, he had every right to say that. As annoying as that is, and it was our fault. See, there are two kingdoms at work. Have you ever noticed that where there's stuff going on in the world, you're going, what are people thinking? What's influencing them? What set of rules could that possibly fit into? There's a world's kingdom or system, and then there is God's kingdom and system. And God's kingdom and system is wherever he is allowed to be Lord and allowed to rule. That's why the Lord's Prayer, we're taught to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in my life as it is in heaven, in this church as it is in heaven, in my job as it is in heaven, in my home as it is in heaven. That's the idea behind the kingdom. Now, Jesus begins teaching, and Matthew chapter 5, you'll want to flip over there because we're going to be here a little bit. Matthew chapter 5 is the beginning of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus starts with this amazing, beautiful, poetic, but yet I think for a lot of people very difficult to contextualize, passage of Scripture that we call the Beatitudes. The Sermon on the Mount has been called the Magna Carta of the Kingdom of God. It's considered the pinnacle of teaching in religious thought. And it begins, and this is kind of the whole setup for everything, the Beatitudes. You can just see Jesus as he's talking to a group of followers. He's got his disciples around him. There's others within earshot. And he begins to teach and says, "Blessed or blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." It's interesting to note, the Beatitudes begin and end with the kingdom of heaven, don't they? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the last, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They all begin with that unique phrase, blessed are the... And what's interesting, if you have a King James Bible, you'll see that the word "are" in the King James Bible is in italics. It's because in the language Jesus originally spoke in, which is most likely Aramaic, there isn't really a phrase, there isn't that word, that transition, "are," "blessed are." In fact, this is a pretty common phrase. You see it in Psalm 1. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed are those who walk not in the counsel of the godly or stand in the way of sinners." The phrase is actually translated most accurately, "Oh, how blessed." It's really not like this instruction. It's not a list of things to do. We Americans love lists of things to do, so we take the Beatitudes and we try to turn them into a list of things to do. Okay, blessed are the poor in spirit. I've got to take care of that. Where can I get some poverty of spirit? Can I, the mall, or Target, I got to go get that taken care of. Jesus, it's an exclamation. Jesus is saying, "Oh, the blessedness of those who are poor in spirit. The blessedness of those who mourn." So the funny thing is, it's almost like, well, how can he say that when we're talking about poverty of spirit, we're talking about mourning? You see, the Beatitudes tear down all kinds of assumptions for us. We look at the assumption, well, wealth is a sign of blessing. Good things is a sign of blessing. Riches is a sign of blessing. And the Beatitudes kind of flies in the face and says, no, this has nothing to do with that. We would say, well, the good don't suffer or shouldn't suffer. And the Beatitudes say, no, that's not true. If you're godly, everyone will approve of you and love you. And the Beatitudes say, that's just not true either. And the fact is, those are worldly perspectives that have crept into our assumptions, and the Beatitudes fly right in the face of those. I think another thing that we often mistakenly assign to these Beatitudes is that they are personality traits. Oh, the poor in spirit. Well, that's a type of person. Or those who are mourn, or the meek, those a type of person. I don't believe these are personality traits. I believe they are progressive heart conditions as one grows in the kingdom of God. I mean, stop and think about it. Think about it in the progressive sense. Let's go back. I'm going to go back up to verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's the beginning point. That's where it all starts. And then he says, blessed are those who mourn. What do they mourn? I think they first and foremost mourn their own poverty of spirit and the brokenness that in them and in others causes around the world. Blessed are the meek. Where'd the meekness come from? Recognizing my poverty of spirit and the mourning that comes from that brings a humility. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness because of this meekness that came from the mourning that came from the recognition of my own poverty of spirit. I have this hunger and this thirst for righteousness and the promises, for they will be filled. And what's interesting, that's halfway point in these eight Beatitudes. It's like there's a tipping point. And the focus begins to subtly change. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And then it goes and says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. When you've hungered and thirst, when you've recognized your poverty of spirit and you've mourned it and you have been filled, all of a sudden it begins to work a mercy in you because you want that for everyone else. Blessed are the pure in heart. They have one thing in heart. That's what purity of heart is really all about. One thing. If you cut my heart and slice it, it's the same all the way through. It's pure. It is a heart for the things that are on the heart of God. That's the pure in heart. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called the sons of God. What's interesting is now, not only is it in my heart, my desire, my attitude towards others, but now I become actively involved in the family business. That's why he says the peacemakers will be called the sons of God. I'm actively involved in the family business because I'm about bringing peace, not just a lack of conflict, folks. Peacemakers are not about, really, first and foremost, a lack of conflict. In fact, sometimes peacemakers dive right in the middle of conflict. The difference between peacekeepers and peacemakers. Peacemakers bring the secret to peace. And it's not just peace with one another, although I think it is, but it's peace with Father, which is the source of peace with one another. And then, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You mean to tell me you could get persecuted for righteousness? The merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers could be persecuted? Yes. This is coming from Jesus, who has firsthand experience. Not everybody is delighted when they begin to see the kingdom of God spread and they begin to see the heart of God move through a group of people out into the world. And note, it all begins and it ends with the kingdom. And that first beatitude is where it springs from. And that's what I want us to focus on for just a few moments here this morning. Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Real quickly, what that is not a defeated or downcast perspective. So if you're like, blessed are the sad sacks, blessed are the beat up, blessed is Eeyore, okay? That's not what we're talking about, okay? It's not a defeated or downcast perspective. It's not material poverty. Some have mistakenly tried to externally earn their salvation by putting on material poverty. That is not what this is talking about. What it is very different. Now, there's two Greek words which are often translated poor. The first is penes, which is a working man who does his own work. He works with his hands. He doesn't have any servants. He can't afford it. In other words, someone who's not wealthy. Okay? But that's not the word that's used. The other is patachos, destitute, absolute poverty, has nothing. That's the word in this section. It implies one who recognizes their absolute need. To the core of their spirit, they recognize their absolute need and the fact that I have no hope apart from God, and I must put all my trust in Him. And it goes right to the core of, okay, how do we see ourselves? The poor in spirit see themselves differently. We could state this beatitude, oh, the blessedness of those whose poverty of spirit has caused them to throw themselves wholly and completely into the arms of God, because the kingdom is for them. The kingdom is theirs. You see, this is talking about redemption for those who recognize their poverty. And to be honest with you, it makes sense, because if I was rich in spirit, why would I need God? If I thought I had it all together, what do I need Him for? See, we don't like this idea of poverty because we want to be rich. I know if I did a survey in this room, now right now, if I asked out loud, you know, how many of you want to be rich? Some of you might be hesitant. Yeah, someone back there is just waving her hand. Nope, I don't care. I'm in. Yes. Count me in. Okay, she's being honest for all y'all, okay? Because if I did an anonymous survey, do you want to be rich or poor? I don't know that I'd get many of the, oh, I'm dying to be poor. Yay. I remember I had a young man I was working with years ago. I mean, I knew him for a long period of years, and asked him what he wants to do when he grows up. What does he want to do with his life? And he said, oh, I'm going to be rich and famous. Well, what do you want to do? I don't know, but I'm going to be rich and famous. And I'm like, okay, here's the deal about rich and famous. You usually get rich doing something. You become famous for something. Okay? It doesn't work the other way. Nah, I'm going to be rich and famous. I don't know the details. I'm going to be rich and famous. Well, he still hasn't achieved it. But who knows? Good for him. The bottom line is, I think we all have this idea that we want to be on the top end. We want to be on the rich. And that's why this message is ugly at first blush. I just want you to hang with me for a while, because there's some great news on the other side of it. But if you skip past this, you're going to miss it all. See, redemption is the divinely orchestrated collision of my lack with his love. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down, because this is the point I want us to have, because it's so important. I don't want you to forget it. The key to the kingdom is the fullness of emptiness.
Thank you, Pastor Sean. You've been listening to Real Life Radio, as next week we'll continue this series called Jesus Has Left the Building and Rediscovering the Biblical Jesus, as it's available right now as a free download when you find the sermons link at reallife.org. We invite you to do more than just hear, but see and do when you join us at River City Community Church, located on Lookout Road right behind Rotama Park. You can see all the details, directions, and service times also at reallife.org. If you'd like to call the church, the number is 210-490-5262. As Real Life Radio is a service of River City Community Church, we hope you join us again next time for more Real Life.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.